Welcome to the Afternoon Jams, 103.7 Beat, your community station. Simulcasting live on 103.7 Beat and on Facebook. Joined today inside the 6 o'clock hour, we have the superintendent of Muskegon Public Schools, Matthew Cortez, joins the conversation today. We're talking about the school reopening plan. How are you doing today, Matt?
Pretty good, Paul. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. So is your school district starting on the 31st also?
Actually, our first day is coming up. It's a little bit earlier than the 31st. Our students' first day is going to actually be the 26th.
The 26th?
Yes.
Why 5 days earlier? Then I got the choice.
Well, we applied for the two-week waiver last year, and we went for it, and we decided to continue on our normal calendar despite the COVID, even though we're doing a distance learning plan instead of in-person instruction.
Okay. All right. So what's going to happen next week? School start? Well, 2 weeks from school starts.
Well, what's going to happen is, next week they're going to be picking up all of their Chromebooks and everything. And we're going to be verifying that they have Wi-Fi service, and internet service at home, helping them out if they don't. And then we start live instruction in the mornings for most of the groups where they're tuning into a Zoom station. What you're posting up right now is the middle school and high school Chromebook distribution for next week. Each day of the week is a different grade. So the middle school, Mondays for sixth grade, Tuesdays for seventh, Wednesdays for eighth, and then Thursday and Friday is makeup days. And then at the high school, we have Monday for high school and MCEC. We have Monday is for ninth grade, Tuesday for 10th grade, Wednesday 11th, Thursday 12th. And then Friday is again a makeup day at the high school for 9th through 12th. The elementaries are going from 2 p.m. until 8 p.m. And if people go online and click the link for the elementary, they can register an appointment to pick up their child's Chromebook at the elementary. The high school, it is just an open door policy for those grades from 9 to 4. So the high school and middle school are 9 to 4, Monday through Friday next week. Elementaries are 2 to 8 p.m.
All right. What about those families that don't have internet?
So if they don't have internet, what we've done is we've partnered with Verizon and we've purchased a fairly large number of hotspots that we can dedicate to a family that is not able to get the Comcast service that's in the area. So, because we're in the middle of a Comcast zone where Comcast or Xfinity is the network provider. Mm-hmm. We also are helping people navigate through Comcast because there is the Internet Essentials program that Comcast offers.
Okay. So how would they go by these hotspots? I mean, what's the instructions on that? I mean,
We walk the families through the hotspot instructions and how to use them. We also are going to have a tech line that's a 24/7 tech line for them to be able to call in to get technical help with their equipment if anything goes wrong. What we do is we work with the families when they're picking up the Chromebooks and ask them some questions, get some clarifications to make sure that they have adequate internet at home.
Okay. Will there be some bandwidth restrictions on the hotspots?
What we've worked out with Verizon is no. We experienced that last year, March, April, and May, when we were working with Kijit. Kijit had some bandwidth restrictions and things like that. What we do is with Verizon, we've taken off those bandwidth restrictions, but they still go through our filtering process and our monitoring process through the schools via the Chromebook.
So when you say filtering process, I mean, the kids who might have these Chromebooks probably won't be able to be on social networks or YouTube or what?
Whatever sites that we don't allow them in the school district are the sites that we're going to not allow them in the through the Chromebooks at home. The idea behind it is trying to keep kids safe, trying to keep them away from malware and things of that nature. There are social media sites that we do allow. There are social media sites that we use for some of our instruction and things of that nature. So it's actually a site-by-site determination. We can get down to that level of filtering.
So will there be any classrooms in person-to-person classrooms?
So what we do is the reason we call it distance learning is the morning is going to be live instruction through Zoom classes that kids are required to attend. Attendance will be taken. They're going to be earning grades and credits as they go through. And then in the afternoon, they're going to have what we call asynchronous learning, which is like pre-built lessons that they can do digitally. But our teachers in the afternoon will be holding one-on-one and small group tutoring. And our buses will be coming around to give kids rides to school. We're going to have very small groups, 6 to 8 students in a group. And it'll be some face-to-face instruction going on and tutoring. They can get some social, emotional, mental help as well. The other part of it is that our small, special population groups of students, we are looking at trying to do some day-long instruction with them inside the classroom in order to better reach students that would not be very well at distance learning based on what their educational plans are.
Right. Now, what about parents who don't want their kids to be in the classrooms right now?
There is no requirement for students to come in for tutoring sessions or for anything of that nature. So they can actually be in the same exact classes as all the rest of our students, always have a Muskegon Public Schools teacher, and they can just stay digitally at a distance. Mm-hmm. So there's no requirement for that student to come in. If students start missing too many days and things like that, we're looking at house visits and things of that nature to make sure we're keeping kids more on track.
What are you seeing on enrollment? Do you expect enrollment to increase?
We're expecting to try and stay level with enrollment. We're looking kind of on target now. Our kindergarten number is a little bit low, but that's granted because it's such a different season for registration into kindergarten. What we're really hoping for is that the state of Michigan responds to what our state superintendent, as well as our state organizations and other superintendents in the state, are asking for, which is to just allow us to remain steady at the same count that we had last fall. And we're looking for that because we're already facing an economic impact by a $650 per student cut that's predicted. And to take away students from that allow student counts to drop would not be a good thing for public schools across the state of Michigan.
What do you expect that teacher to student ratio to be?
Well, right now we are working at the same traditional state student to teacher ratio. I think we average around 22, 23 students overall through the district. The reason that we're still at that average is because we are not doing in-person instruction. So social or distance learning model that we do, because the students aren't all reporting to the room at the same time, they're able to still maintain those numbers. What our major goal here was in developing the system and the schedule that we did is we take a look at our distance learning plan on a monthly basis. And we also talk to the health department in the state of Michigan. And if we feel comfortable coming back into school with the children, we're able to do that. And then if something happens, we're able to go back out of school. And it's not the big shock that happened in March. It's a fluid system that's designed to handle those type of transitions without changing teachers, without changing curriculum, without skipping a beat, other than your physical presence and where you're at.
We're live with Muskegon Public Schools Superintendent Matt Cortez on Muskegon Public Schools reopening plan. I have the up on the screen, if you're watching us on Facebook, be on Facebook Live and live on 103.7 The Beat. We have the schedule for the kindergarten, first grade, and second grade. Anything that you want to elaborate to the parents?
Sure. At the K-2 level, what we're looking at here is we're looking at 9 to 11 as required live online instruction. So students will be using their Chromebooks and zooming into the classroom. Teachers will be taking attendance throughout this period. And then after that live instruction is done, there is at 12:30 to 2 is our first face-to-face tutoring appointments where students can take buses to the school and actually work in small groups with their teacher face-to-face in the classroom. And then there's a second opportunity from 2 until 3:30, and busing will be provided for both of those. Along with that, if students aren't doing the face-to-face tutoring, then from 12:30 to 1:30, there is an optional live direct instruction via Zoom for the various electives of art, music, physical education, and technology. And then also in the afternoon, we're going to have some required distance learning, pre-recorded self-paced lessons. And these lessons, there's not a timeline other than they need to be done the day of the week they're assigned. So on the chart we're looking at, like Monday, lesson 2 in math and lesson 2 in science or social studies, along with an online, one of the online electives, needs to be completed on Monday. So what we're doing is we're pacing our students so that the amount of education they're getting is the same amount they would get as if they were in a live school environment.
Wow, that's good. If you have a question, you can go to our Facebook page and ask the question there on the stream. Of course, you can call the radio station. Big Rob, who has a kid who goes to Muskegon public schools. As a matter of fact, all his kids went to Muskegon public schools. What if your child already have a Chromebook from the school?
If your child still has the Chromebook from the school, I would encourage going up and checking, having them check over the Chromebook during one of those appointment times, or at least calling up and talking to your school about it. And the reason I would encourage that is in case there's something wrong with the Chromebook, plus we want to make sure that we have that Chromebook assigned to your child correctly. We have noticed when we went through the March distribution that it was a very rushed distribution because none of us were really given a heads up we were closing. And we just want to make sure that your child has the best equipment possible and that it's still in good operating condition.
Now, did the teachers union participate in this planning process?
100% yes. Before I started putting this plan together with all of our administrative team and our instructional coaches, I actually asked the teachers union to sit down with me and to choose 4 representatives from the elementary level and 4 people from the secondary level so we could sit down and come up with this plan together. And we have been working hand in hand developing this plan and making sure that the safety and the health of students and our staff is the number one top priority right now. It goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. In-person instruction is the number one way to teach our kids. We all know that.
Right.
We know those relationships are key. Exactly. But it is not worth putting lives at risk of our kids, of the people, of the community, in order to get that live instruction. So we need to do it in the safest way possible. I was the 4th superintendent in the state of Michigan to say that we're going to go distance learning.
Oh, really?
Three weeks ago, everybody was looking at me like I was crazy. Right. And I looked at him and I said, you'll see, there'll be a floodgate. And now the floodgates are starting to happen.
Matt Cortez, Superintendent of Muskegon Public Schools. We have the schedule, the elementary schedule for the 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade up on the screen if you're watching us on Facebook Live. Anything you want to stress to the parents about this schedule?
This schedule is much like the kindergarten one. There's some differences in the bottom half. So 9 to 11, again, we have live instruction going on through Zoom where they're actually getting live instruction from their teachers. So it's not recorded. It can be very interactive. They can ask questions, things of that nature, just as if they are in the classroom with the teacher. And then they're doing that through their Chromebooks. From 12:30 to 2, we have a face-to-face tutoring. From 2 to 3:30, we have the second one for face-to-face tutoring. And then, again, we have optional live instruction from 12:30 to 1:30 for the various electives that they can do, the art, music, phys ed, or technology. And then in the afternoon, the required, it's called our flexible time. It's pre-recorded self-paced lessons, but they must be done that day. And it lists out what each lesson is and what day it is on. The cool part about this is I know that this is a lot. Parents can get all of this information off of our website. They are going to be getting a packet mailed to them next week. And inside that packet is going to be a refrigerator magnet with the schedule on it. So it's very easy for them to reference the schedule.
Now, what do we know about sports right now? Has the Michigan High School Sports Association, have they made a definitive decision on whether there would be fall sports?
Well, I used to have an old friend that used to tell me he's as nervous as a cat in a room full of rockers. And that's where I'm sitting right now. MHSAA has not made a final decision, and neither has the state government in regards to high school sports. We are following every recommendation that they make to us from the health department, the state government, as well as MHSAA. I do not know where this is going to land. My hope is, I mean, we're finishing up a renovation on Hackley Stadium into a state-of-the-art facility again. And I really would love to see football played on it. But at the same time, you know, it's a call that's beyond me as a superintendent.
And I think the season starts in a couple weeks.
Yeah, the 28th is supposed to be our first game.
Right now, the football team is practicing?
The football team is practicing on the ability that the MHSAA has given them. So they're not allowed to be in pads. They are in helmets. They're working in pods. They're allowed to use their what I call the tackling dummies, but they're not really tackling dummies. I think they're push sleds or blocking sleds, and then they have blocking pads. But they are not allowed to be in full pads yet, and it's still not allowed to be full contact.
Wow. What are your gut feelings? I know you're trying to deliver facts today, but what is your gut feeling on this?
I was feeling really positive about it until the Big Ten and Pac-12 made their announcement. Yeah. And now I don't know what to think. I really don't. I think that they're going to make a decision that's best. You know, about a month ago, the MHSAA put out four things that they would be considering. One of the things would be postponing the season until it's safer and healthier. And I think they're probably, if I'm a prediction guy, they're going to probably activate that. I cannot see them just canceling it outright. I don't think it's going to be like the spring where we just cancel it and walk away. I think that we're much more intelligent than that now. And I think that we have practices that we can do that are safer. Plus, you know, the trial vaccines that are going on with 30,000 people as close as Detroit, Michigan, with Henry Ford Hospital, they're having a lot of success with that vaccine. Mm-hmm. And it could be something that we face at the end of this year, beginning of next year, that vaccinations are worldwide.
Wow. So they haven't, I haven't read that. That's good to know that they're having success. Now, you're going to have some parents who are going to say that we don't want our kids to be a test, who might be mandatory to take this vaccine.
Well, the school, that's not our place. So that's luckily something I don't have to give a determination on. You know, everybody has their own stance on the vaccine. My position on it is, I think the FDA is hip deep in this, and I think that they're really doing the due diligence and the science behind it. I know it's been on a quick pace and everything, but I hear of other vaccines in other countries that are getting tested as well.
Wow. Let's talk about the food distribution.
Yes, the food distribution is very important. Believe it or not, we were serving food to 2,600 of our 3,600 students over the summer and during the springtime. And we were one of the only districts that was taking it directly to their front porch. So we are going to be continuing this. The key is that the funding has changed hands. So when we did our summer program, which goes up until the week we start school, that is a different funding source than when we're in regular school. So we have to have our families re-register. And when they re-register their address with their students and everything, There's a Google survey they can take. There's an email. They can email our district, or they can call our transportation department to re-register. Mm-hmm. And an important difference here is we're not going to be delivering a week's worth of food. It's going to be 5 breakfasts and 5 lunches. Okay. So under the new funding guideline, we are not allowed to feed them on the weekends. So, but we will deliver 5 days worth of lunches and 5 days worth of breakfasts. Our first delivery date is going to be Tuesday, the 25th for the new schedule. Yep, you got that pulled up right there. The east side will get delivered on Tuesdays, east of Wood Street, and the west of Wood Street will get delivered on Thursdays. And then on Wednesdays, we will still have an open pickup at the high school cafeteria where cars can pull up and pick up the box of food. But we do need people to register in order for us to be able to prepare the meals correctly and to get enough of them done. You know, I'm not exactly a thin guy, so, but I do know what it's like to not have enough food on the table at home when and that is something that I do not want any of our families to have to face. It is too important for the health of our kids and the strength of our kids to allow us to look the other way or anything like that with this.
Where are we at when it comes down to mental health treatment for the youth, the kids in the district?
So what we are doing is if you were to go back to one of the schedules, if you pull up the secondary schedule 6 through 12 or either one of the elementaries, you're going to see stuff on there called SEL lesson, which is social emotional learning lessons. Our counselors and our psychologists and social workers are going to be taking the lead in that.
Okay.
If you pull up our website and they pull up the full plan for returning to school, there is a social emotional mental health part of that plan that they can look at. And we're going to have a weekly screener that students do. And that weekly screener will help us to keep an eye on students and make sure that their social, emotional, and mental health is in order. If there's any flags that we see, if there's any flags that teachers see, there's an ability for them to report this and have people reach out to the home. Along with this face-to-face tutoring, students can use this busing system to get bused to our schools in order to get social, emotional, mental health counseling, either from our counselors, social worker, psychologist, or in partnership with Hackley Community Care, because we have very strong partners with them. We are going to have Hackley Community Care workers active in every one of our schools right when we begin school, so they would be able to help with students as well.
We're live on 103.7 The Beat, the community station of Muskegon, with Superintendent Matt Cortez, Muskegon Public Schools. How many students do the district have now?
Last year, we were at like 3,614.
3,614. Do you expect that to increase?
I'm hoping for it to stay the same. Right now, we're just over 3,500. And we still have a couple of weeks to go. I think some people are finally getting the news that it's time to gear up and get ready to come in. Any kindergartners, it's not too late with kindergarten to come in and register and things of that nature.
That's good. What about staffing? Are you looking for more staff?
To tell you the truth, I am so enormously impressed with all of our staff. They're all returning. They're looking forward to it. They're on fire. They're happy. They want to get back to the kids. It's been too long since they've been with our kids. And to me, each one of them are feeling it. They're very, very sold on the idea of what we are doing and how we are doing it and taking such safety precautions.
Where are we at on school closing? Are you projecting any schools to close this upcoming year?
Actually, we took Nelson offline, and actually the reason that we did that a year early is because we were able to shift them over to Bunker. And other than that, we've moved out of the Hackley building, but there was really no school going on in the Hackley building. So we combined over on the high school campus and the manual building for central office now. And you know, we're not closing schools down. You know, my hope is that we continue to fill our schools and start busting at the seams like we have been last year.
So where are the school board meetings being held at?
The school board meetings are being held at the Manual Building, which is the single-story building at the high school, and in the new boardroom that we have dedicated as a boardroom.
Now, what's the plans for the Hackley Building? Is it to be sold?
Well, we are looking at trying to do a partnership with the county. They're going to be having some more discussions about that. Some of the conditions that the board has given me in regards to Hackley Building is to make sure that it stays some type of public service building. Mm-hmm. And that it's something that whoever takes it over would work to restore it and to honor it. So,
well, Matt Cortez here, Superintendent of Muskegon Public Schools. Anything else you want to get out, Matt?
Just that, you know, I want everybody to stay safe, stay healthy. We're really looking forward to the school year. I'm really excited because I love watching kids learn and being part of these Zoom meetings with kids. And just watching my teacher's passion get conveyed to all of our students.
Wow. Has the district been affected by COVID-19? Any staff?
We've had a few, but it's not been anything that is, we've been very fortunate that people have been able to recover. And we were able to quarantine others that were around them in order to mitigate the spread. So, you know, when you take what the health department has done, and you take what the CDC says and what the state has done, and you actually live by those rules, they work. They work very, very well.
Right. What is the school district positions on kids in this virus? You're hearing different sides that it don't affect the kids or kids don't transmit it. And, you know, you hear different opinions. What is Muskegon Public Schools' position on this?
My position is this. My son's a student in my district. He's going into eighth grade. And, you know, what I would do for my son is what we are going to do for every student in this district. You know, it's not a matter of whether this could affect kids or anything like that. I asked the question, and I didn't really get a good answer, but I've asked the question of, as a superintendent, if I know that I'm putting kids in a position where they are likely to get sick, how do I do that? That goes against everything that I have in the core of my being, both as an educator, as a father, and as a superintendent. So I need to protect students and staff first and deliver education second during this particular time. There will come a time when we can get back to in-person education, but that's not right now.
Right. What's been the teachers' union position on this?
They have been very, very passionate about the safety of children and the safety of their members as well. I have been very impressed with the partnership that we have developed together and with the ability of our district to come together for what is best for our students, our staff, and our community.
Superintendent, a couple more questions. Do you Sure. think that we're waiting on the vaccine to be approved before we go back to regular classroom sessions, or are we waiting on this virus to disappear?
I think we're waiting on either what they call herd immunity or the vaccine. Right. I mean, that's what it comes down to. So, I mean, if we develop herd immunity as a species, mm-hmm. then obviously it becomes more like what the flu would be.
Right.
If we develop a vaccine, then it's going to become like the other illnesses that we have with the vaccine. Right. This is something that naturally humans didn't have a defense for. That's been right. quite obvious. The longer it goes, the more that we evolve a defense and the more that we learn about it scientifically and start dispelling the rumors or the myths that came out from fear rather than from an understanding of a scientific approach.
Wow. And I think you got to have a certain percentage to get that herd immunity.
It's 70, 75%. I mean, it's a large percentage, correct?
So majority of the city would have to be infected first. So,
well, the problem is I don't know if we even have a grasp on how many people are infected because I don't think that they're doing nearly enough testing to justify accurate numbers.
So realistically, this could go on for a whole school year.
Realistically, it could go on for a whole school year. My hope is that we're able to return. My hope is that, you know, the spreading of the disease slows down, and the mitigation factors that we take in with the masks and with sanitization and social distancing prove to work. But right now, I do not see it being safe enough to bring our entire population back. And I'm not going to let our kids be used as guinea pigs. Right. Just not.
That's good. That's good. Anything else before we go?
No, sir. I appreciate your time. And anytime you guys want to talk, just shoot me a text or give me an email, and we'll set up a time.
All right. Thank you. And thanks to Angela Johnson, too, to make sure.
Yes, she reached out. She came to me with this yesterday, and she's like, I can get you on there. I was like, okay, well, go ahead. She called me today. She's like, how about today? I was like, okay, let's go.
We're going to make it happen for you. She's a big advocate of the kids and a great teacher.
She's a new assistant principal for us at the middle school. She got a promotion over the
summer. Oh, okay. All right.
She is an outstanding educator. She is the future of MPS right there.
There you
She's
go.
The future of our administration. So
that's good. That's good. Well, you got a good staff there.
Yes, I'm very blessed.
And continue to do good things. And we hope to stay in a vaccine, I guess. I don't know. I won't be on. I don't know if I'm on the vaccine list, though. But, hey, I get it. It's important.
Yes, sir. We'll see what happens. Watch the people that already took it.
All right. All right. Take care, Matt. Have a good day.
Thanks. Have a great night.
All right. All right, Muskegon. That was Superintendent Matt Cortez, Muskegon Public Schools. We're live on Facebook, live on 103.7 The Beat. We got to go. Coming up next is DJQ89. Continue to have a blessed day. Peace and blessings, family.